You are listening to a Hillbilly Horror Stories Patreon bonus preview. If you like what you're hearing, stick around to the end to find out how you can get more. Hey guys, welcome to episode 1177 of Hillbilly Shorts.
Hey guys.
Tracy, we're going to talk about a subject today that's actually a place that I have been to that's not, we'll say, paranormal. Mm. But it's still a place that's going to creep most people out.
All right. Have I been there?
No.
Okay.
This Tennessee urban legend will keep you awake at night because it's true. You've probably heard terrible stories. Teenagers taking a hike in the woods, wandering a lover's lane late at night, and stumbling across a meadow of corpses. Dead men and women rotting and posed. Some that appear tossed about or freshly dead. Serial killer? Nope. Body farm in Tennessee.
Oh.
Yep.
Wait, have I heard this story?
You know it exists. We've talked about it before.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
It may not seem too believable, but it is a real thing. The University of Tennessee at Knoxville has a body farm that uses corpses as teaching tools for future scientists. There are only three in the country. They're located in Cullowhee, North Carolina, Knoxville, Tennessee, and San Marcos, Texas. Tennessee boasts the largest body farm in the country at 2.5 acres. Now, for reference, when at capacity, we're looking at a body farm that holds anywhere from 40 to 50 bodies in a variety of different areas posed to help students better understand the science of the body's life and after, or life after death. The main point is for future forensic scientists to be able to study body decomposition in various elements. It was implemented into University of Tennessee studies in 1981 with over 100 bodies donated to the university on a yearly basis. So if you're looking to drive future students for success and feed over the true urban legend of a wooded body farm, now you know where to go.
Oh my gosh.
You may not be sleeping tonight, but don't worry. The body farm in Knoxville is surrounded by razor wire fence, so no one is wandering in or out unnoticed. For some crazy reason, you're interested in visiting the body farm. Sorry to say, but you're in for disappointment. The Forensic Anthropology Center of Knoxville does not offer tours.
What in the world? Why would they do that anyway?
The place is for research only, and the families that have donated bodies would probably not appreciate their late loved ones being gawked at. Still, the video that I'm going to try to post on our page offers an interesting insight into the place and important work that goes into training people studying forensics. You can learn more about the place by visiting the Forensic Anthropology Center website. And if you're a fan of stories to give you the creeps, there's all kinds that this would put you into.
Dang.
So
I don't know how long it would take to get used to be doing that, even though that's what you are going to school for, but still.
So here's the deal. Back in, 20 years ago, I guess, mm-hmm. when I was in a mortgage business, mm-hmm. I had to go out to a man's house to have him sign some paperwork. He was an, what do you call him, freelance photographer. Mm-hmm. And he was doing a story on the body farm in Tennessee. He'd been there once already and had to go back. He had a picture that he gave me, because he had all the proper equipment there to just print out a picture if he wanted to, great quality. And he printed me out an 8x10 of a decomposing corpse.
Dude.
And I don't have the picture anymore. I wish I did. I actually took it back and pinned it up on the corkboard in my office, and people made me take it down because it was so gross. But it literally, it was picture probably nipple area up, mm-hmm. and the head as you, I mean, this thing was more skeleton than full body. But I mean, like the jawbone was wide open and it was laying on its side and there was still some meat on it, but it was discolored, and you could see a part of the shoulder. And
why would you want that?
It was awesome. Oh. Anyways, he had to go back, and I spent so much time talking about how cool this was that he asked me if I wanted to go back with him.
Dude, you're serious.
When he went back. So I went back there. And we parked where you had to park at. There's like a building on Tennessee's campus. And I don't know what building it was. Like I said, this is 20 years ago. But he said in the summertime, everybody fights to get to class way early so they can park closer to the building, because the back of the parking lot was where the Body Farm started, and the smell was so bad that nobody wanted to park back there.
How was you able to get in?
I was with him. He was there. He was doing a story on it, so he had the access to it.
And they just let you come with him?
Yeah, they don't know who I am. I mean, I'm one of his assistants, for all they know.
Ooh. So how did you handle that?
It was different. I mean, literally, it's people are posed, like I said, in there. You got people laying on their front. You got people laying on their back. You got people that are somewhat covered with some shade to see how that reacts to the ones that might be next to it that aren't in the shade. You got people that had been out there for a year, people who had been out there for 3 months, because when you do forensic studies, because, you know, when they go out and find a body, they can say, oh, this body has been out there for at least 6 months and this and that. Well, that's how they know that, because the research they do on these farms mm-hmm. to see. And so you get all kinds of different conditions that they replicate out there.
That sounds like really sick. I mean, I guess I see why they need to do it. So
I mean, it's necessary, though.
Well, I mean, I get that. But so the people that, donate their loved ones, they just bury nothing?
Right. I think when it's all said and done, I think they can have, I'm just guessing on this, but I think when it's all said and done and they're through with the body, you can have it cremated and the remains sent back to yours. I don't know how it works. I think they eventually get those remains back if they want it. Ugh. Well, they're not going to give you like a garbage bag with a bunch of bones in it.
I know that. It just sounds terrible.
And yes, the smell was horrible.
Oh, I don't want
to
know.
We had to do like the coroners and stuff do when they do some of these autopsies, and they had like Vicks vapor rub, and you put it over top of your lip right underneath your nose. So that's primarily all you smelt. But.
Okay, I don't want to hear no more, please.
I'm just saying, it still got through.
Okay, yeah. Well, like I said, hush it. Shut your pie hole.
All right, that wraps it up for this edition. Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 170. Where are we at? 8 of Hillbilly Shorts.
I think it was 8 last time, wasn't it?
No, I think it was 7 last time.
Oh.
Anyways.
My bad.
Yeah, I can't figure it out. Let's see. Yeah, it's 78. All right. Since you loved the story yesterday, I thought we'd do stories on the other two body farms.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. We're going to do the one of the most haunted prisons in all of America.
Haunted what?
Prisons.
Oh, prisons. I was med yawn. Sorry.
That's all right. I know I bore you. Some places are known for their history, and some historical places are known for being haunted. The old Joliet Prison, an abandoned prison with notorious history and residents who may have never seemed to have left long after they were gone. Considered one of the most haunted places in the world, the old Joliet Prison is a spooky, haunted, abandoned prison in Illinois. You know, I don't think we've done a complete story on that one.
Yeah. You're probably right.
I mean, there's a couple of the big prisons that I still want to do. I don't think we've done the Missouri State Prison yet. And that's on the list. But I think this one may be there too. But who knows? You might hear a more in-depth version of this coming up. In 1858, the Illinois State Penitentiary, as it was called then, first opened in what would later become the city of Joliet. The prison in Joliet started with just 53 prisoners, who were put to work constructing additional prison buildings. By 1878, over 2,000 inmates lived at the prison, and they were filled over capacity.
Dang, that's quite the jump.
Yes, it is. Over time, conditions became rather unsanitary and even dangerous, and calls to close the prison were eventually made. However, it continued to house inmates until 2002, when it was finally abandoned. Now, during this tenure, the prison housed some notorious offenders, including John Wayne Gacy,
Oh.
James Earl Ray. You know who John Wayne Gacy is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know who James Earl Ray is?
I feel like I do, but I don't know.
I think James Earl Ray was the gentleman who shot Martin Luther King.
That's right.
Babyface Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
That was Ricky Nelson. I'm just kidding. He did have a baby face, though.
He did.
And Richard Speck, which the name rings a bell, but I don't know 100%. I think he was a serial killer, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Executions were also performed on site. With its lengthy history, notorious residents, executions, on-site cemetery, and violence over the years, it may have come as no surprise that the prison, now known as the Old Joliet Prison, is one of the most haunted places in the world. Among the paranormal activity experienced here over time is a singing ghost on the property. Maybe when you visit, you'll encounter this fascinating spirit.
Fun.
Depends on what he's singing.
I'm
not really like into jazz or the blues. So if he's singing that, I really can't get into it. Now, if he's singing like some Nirvana or Pink Floyd or you know, Zeppelin or something, I could probably get into it a little more.
I don't know.
Because he could be singing some Zeppelin. He could be singing the Gallows Pole. That would be fitting.
Oh, that would be.
The best way to experience the haunting at the Old Joliet Prison is to take a tour. Of course, there is the self-guided tour on which you can take yourself around a property and read interpretive signs along with the way. I want the ghost to do interpretive dance. That way I can not have to read the signs.
That'd be
kind of cool. And I can take the self-guided tour and have the ghost do interpretive dance.
There you go. I think that's a good one for the suggestion box.
This is John Wayne Gacy. He'll be dancing to Tears of a Clown. But if you'd rather be in a group and led by a tour guide, take the haunted history, guard, or photography tour of the incredibly spooky, haunted Old Joliet Prison. And you can actually learn more about the prison by going to their website or their Facebook page.
Nice.
That's not too far from us. I wouldn't mind going up there.
Mm-hmm.
I've still never made it to a haunted prison. We keep talking about going to Moundsville because that's not too far away from us. And the old Missouri one's not that far from us. And Joliet wouldn't be that far, so we need to just pick up one day and take one. One place we've been to was the Ohio State Reformatory, and they were closed.
Yeah, they were.
So we couldn't do it. Otherwise, we would have taken a tour that day. We had the time. But COVID, and they were doing construction, renovations on the property.
Oh, yeah.
I did take a rock, though.
You did. I told you about that crap. Quit taking stuff.
Our little pond outside has rocks and little pieces. We brought back the little sand dollar type stones and some driftwood from Lake Erie. And on that same trip, we stopped at the Ohio State Reformatory and I found a little rock that was outside of the reformatory and I brought it home.
Yeah. You're just asking for trouble.
But there's all kinds of stuff out there in that pond from every place we've been.
I know it. It's crazy.
So, and I couldn't tell you what any of it is. I could pick up a piece of driftwood and say, I don't remember where that came from. But
yeah, well, that's probably why our pond's always leaking.
Maybe. All right, guys, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Hey, guys, if you like what you just heard, we do 6 of those small bonus episodes every single week. We also do 2 full-length bonus episodes every month. We do a listener stories episode and then a story that's just like the ones you would typically hear on the regular feed. If you're interested in supporting us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com and look up Hillbilly Horror Stories or go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com, and there's a direct link right there. Thank you guys so much for what you do for us.